CD. Hey, Terry Barr, please tell us about Irene Keegan Jr.
Well, she is described as a vocal powerhouse. So the question tonight, why is Irene Keegan Jr. now taking her power to the pages of a book? Well, we are about to find out as Irene joins us on Max Inc. Radio. Thanks, Irene, for being here. Yay!
It's fun.
Excellent.
Far, I haven't wrecked anything yet, so I'm good.
Okay. Well, I've seen you in Madison quite a few times, but you have toured and you've opened for some pretty amazing big bands all across the country. Tell me about, you know, who are you and why have you done these kinds of things? And if it's been exciting, have you loved it?
Oh, yeah. I would love to do it all over again. But, you know, there's like things like COVID and there's stuff like traveling with a band and getting old and going, I have to haul that gear myself. You know, there's a lot of that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I love playing music. When I was young, that's all I wanted to do. I would sit and play. I didn't know anything. I still can't read music. I took lessons and the teacher fired me.
Oh, no.
She said, I don't know enough chops and licks to show you how to play, so I'm going to cut you loose. And I'm like, okay. And I played by ear, figured out what I wanted to do. And I never really wanted to play anything, though. I wanted to just sing. So my playing was just enough to write songs and use it as an implement for that. And then when I played in bands, I didn't want to play a guitar until some point they wanted a guitar player. And it was on as a prop. There was an behind me
that
was plugged in with the tubes were sticking up upside down. We call it the upside down amp. It was a trainer amp. And my guitar wasn't actually plugged into it. And I would fake putting my, I'd see where the guys were putting their fingers and fake where my hands were. And eventually I learned what chords I tuned up and I learned the chords and I was playing. And one night I told a sound man, I said, all right, just put a speaker, you know, turn me up, actually mic me up and turn me up. And
he's like,
so I played it and they had a double solo where they stood shoulder to shoulder playing this double solo thing. And I stood in front of him just in the rhythm part.
Oh my gosh.
And I didn't know what chords I was playing for years. I just played some wherever their fingers went and what sounded good in my head when I was using it to write.
That is an amazing story because I've seen you sing and play. And, you know, in more recent years, you would never know that backstory.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Wow. You know, I guess for anybody listening, it gives them hope, you know, which is a cool thing that you can learn to play guitar if you want to.
If you want to. I think that everybody has some musical thing, even though they say, oh, I'm tone deaf and all. I think everybody's got something. I ran karaoke for a while and, you know, people are like, oh my God, why do they do this song? I'm like, it has nothing to do with the people listening. It's the person. Everybody's got a song in them they want to let out. It doesn't matter. You know, you judge it however you want. Some of the greatest singers are people that are famous. They're not necessarily in tune. They just have a style about them. Listen to Mick Jagger. He's not necessarily in tune, even with the song he's singing. And I love The Stone.
Yeah.
But it's a style.
Okay. So we got a little secret tip here on listening to music in maybe a little bit of a different way now. Oh, my. Hey,
well,
Irene.
Tina said she wasn't a great singer. She said she just had a way of getting a song out of her.
Yes. And for those who don't know you, how do you describe yourself and your music? And what are you up to these days otherwise?
Well, I am. That's a lot of questions.
Yeah, it kind of is. And we'll talk about the book, obviously. So that's coming. So you can hold off on that.
There's myself and my music are kind of almost two different things.
Got it.
It's, you know, like I've run into people, they love the stage person, and then they meet me and hang out with me, and they're kind of like, wow, you're kind of boring. I'm sorry, I was doodling on a paper. Sorry, I didn't. What did you want to talk about? You
know? Oh, the two sides of Irene.
Yeah, and musically, it was just, I love the release and the cathartic just freedom of playing music, singing. I can't dance. I mean, I can't, it's the same thing with music. It's my interpretive dance. Not very attractive. It's kind of painful sometimes. So the singing just came with the thing. And my mother always sang, or there was music always playing, and it just seemed like the natural thing to just follow that and go with it. And so music was that.
I'm so glad. Yeah, because you've entertained, and we love it, you know. Yeah.
My mother is a great singer, but she was a great singer. So now she's 91, and I take care of her.
Oh, wow.
That's what I do. I take care of her. I'm back here in Wisconsin. If I wasn't for my mom, I don't think I'd be here, especially with this cold and crap going on.
Yeah, I understand.
She traveled today, and I hurt.
Well, let's talk about you. Yes, you are living in La Crosse right now, and you're from northern Wisconsin originally. What do you think about the Wisconsin music scene? Because you've pretty much traveled everywhere, including all over Wisconsin.
I think there's something about, you know, they talk about that Texas blues sound and the mm-hmm. Chicago blues sound. And originally I was a blues singer. If you listen to my stuff, you'll hear the blues and everything I'm doing. It's like I was a torch singer that became a rock singer, and it's kind of strange. But anyway, there's different tones of the California sound. Wisconsin has its own sound that's kind of a mix of a lot of those things, but there's a richness to it because what do we do in the wintertime besides shovel and chop wood? Yeah. We hone our instruments, we hone our craft, mm-hmm. and we, you know, find our warmth in that and our dreams of going somewhere warm in that or somewhere amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And oh, that's
La Crosse cool. used to be, when I first came to La Crosse, I was like 17, and you'd walk down any street downtown on any given night of the week. Yeah. And there was the butts of musicians in the windows playing these little makeshift stages in the bars. And now it's so hard to find that. And it's aggravating. But they still pay you the same they did back in the...
Oh,
you
know, no. Oh, no. Yeah, all right. We got to talk about that on another time and get these venues to step up a little bit for the music.
Come on now.
I know. Come on. Okay. So I love this. Instead of writing songs right now, you recently wrote a book. Dave Goes to the Moon. Okay. Who is Dave and what inspired the book?
Well, Dave is my cat and he's seven. He's one of the most charactered cats I've ever had. He's changed me. I swear he made me a nicer person. I used to be just kind of grumpy and now he's just like, he's so sweet. I'm like, oh my God, Dave's so sweet. And I rescued him from a farm where he was eating dog food and he sleeps on my head. So, you know, he does little kitty twitching and stuff. And I'm like, what are you dreaming, dude? And it's not always like, sounds like it's not always a good dream. Sometimes he seems stressed. So I just kind of gently, don't wake him, just gently hug him. And pretty soon he sighs and goes back into a normal sleep. And I'm like, oh, thank God. I'm not going to get scratched up now.
Oh, man.
And so I started writing these with this idea of, it kind of went to my own childhood and I went back to being a kid, reverting to being a kid and the freedom I had as a kid to just dream. And I remember like we'd build little forts and we'd read comic books and stuff. And I grew up on Bugs Bunny and things, but I loved, I don't know, like Batman was my hero because he wasn't a superhero, yet he was. But he learned how to do all of that stuff. He didn't have some, you know, magical power could fly. He had, you know, little weird gadgets that could pull him up in the air and stuff.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, geez. So as I was writing these kids' books, I started thinking about it. And it was like, I see a lot of these books out there about princesses and superheroes and stuff. Things that not every kid dreams they're ever going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took this ordinary cat with his ordinary toys and I put him on some grand adventures. So this is the first in a series, actually.
Oh, I was going to ask you that. That's awesome.
The first in a series. And because dreams aren't all happy, this one is just the start. It's just the adventure started out, you know.
And this one in particular goes to the moon. Why not?
Yeah, it goes to the moon. Why not? We're taking a new journey. Let's try this. I've never been to the moon, but let's go to the moon. And and then the next one, it'll be a little more serious, maybe dark, I guess, maybe a little bit darker.
Actually, that's reality.
It's already figured out. It's going to be called Dave Does Hard Time.
Oh.
So he goes to court. And they give us some stuff, and they, you know. So it's the little steps along the way. And I went to different publishers. I looked at different kids' publishing books or children's publishing books.
Yeah.
And they wanted stuff about education, oppression, sexism, racism. And I thought, what kind of kids' books are those? I mean, my favorite was Where the Wild Things Are.
Oh, you know? I love that book as well.
Mm. Yeah, so I wanted to do that, you know, go somewhere else and take this journey and not have to be all worried about, am I teaching them the wrong thing or whatever. Right. It's just about imagination and play.
Oh, yeah, it does. It takes you back to being a kid. I got to ask you about this with the book. It's like being on a stage again, you know, as a musician.
Yeah, just a different kind of stage.
Yeah, and you've been hosting these book signings and meeting with people. What has the reaction been when people are getting their hands on your book?
I'm amazed at how many people come up and tell me that their kid who's, you know, maybe got some learning disability or something, loves the texture of the book, first off.
Oh,
and the colors
cool.
are so bright. They want to look at the pictures. And a lot of my friends or the people that are coming in are like telling me this is the book their kid wants to learn to read from. And I'm thinking, okay. like it's, I feel like now there's a responsibility, but I don't want to think too hard about it because if I do, then I'm going to change my original format that I had in my head.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Don't
so
do that.
I'm gonna keep it back to what I originally wanted to do, which was just adventures for kids.
Well, and it sounds like it's working if they're telling you that. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And I will never put people in them. They'll be, you know, like the whole Dave gets chewed out by somebody and you just see the words of the person. You don't see anybody. And because I don't want anybody to be, oh, this is a book for this, you know, this race or that race, really.
Right.
I want everybody to be able to relate to Dave in some way.
Yeah, absolutely. So where is Dave, the star of the book, right now? What is Dave doing?
Right now, I think he's sleeping on the couch in the other room.
He's, of course.
He was bugging me, and I went, all right, it's time to feed you because he gets fed at 6. So I fed him. Then he had to play a little bit.
Yeah.
And he took off. So.
Oh, that is so great. Yeah. Is there going to be an episode of a book in the series, Dave Becomes a Musician?
I haven't actually done that. He actually, there was one I was debating, and I'm not sure exactly how to do this. I want him to go to art school.
Oh.
Because he was starting to carve things and sculpt things in his cat box.
Okay, this is just going to be such a fun series to follow along. Oh my gosh. Irene, how do we keep up with you? How do we find the book? Where do we keep up with what you're up to these days? And if there are more book signings, how can we find you there?
Well, right now I'm doing stuff on Facebook. I'm trying to create a website. But again, going back to the, I don't do computers very well. I need a 12-year-old to build me a website.
And they can.
It seems like the age when you can do that stuff.
But find you on Facebook. That's where we can keep up with everything you're up to.
Yeah, and it's Irene J.R. Keenan.
Excellent.
It's me. There's a bunch on there. Actually, there's a site on there that is What Cats Dream also. And that's the book thing. And I'm working on trying to get the PayPal and stuff hooked into that. But I'm, again, I'm tired of throwing up on my table and my computer. So.
It will happen, and then you'll sell even more books. So that's excellent.
I hope so.
Good.
It's not even, I'm not even about the selling of the book. I want people to have the book.
Oh.
You know, just so that kids can do that thing and dream like we did when we were kids. Everybody seems like they're worried about this video game or that movie coming out, and they're getting pretty fantastical. I mean, I do like the graphics, but come on. Really?
Your own imagination.
Yeah.
Yeah. This has been so great to talk with you. Thank you so, so much, Irene Kanen Jr. And of course, the book, Dave Goes to the Moon. And we'll be watching for the next ones in this series, Irene. Thank you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you very much. And you have a great night. Stay safe. Don't slide around in the ditches out there.
Yeah, you too. Oh, my goodness. Irene Kanen Jr., everybody, on Max Inc. Radio. And we are local music.